military post shot and killed a sheriff's deputy, then committed suicide alongside a road. According to authorities, Christopher Michael Hodges fired 35 rounds from his M4 carbine during the incident Sunday morning. With IRN USA Radio News, I'm John Russell.
We all want the best for ourselves and our families, right? But it's not always easy or practical to actually own the thing that's the absolute best in its class. Fortunately, when it comes to the eggs you serve, you can actually experience the best. Eglin's Best. In the world of eggs, Eglin's Best are unique and special. They come from hens that are fed a patented, high-quality, all-natural, all-vegetarian diet without added hormones, antibiotics, or steroids of any kind. This produces eggs that have superior taste and superior nutrition. In fact, Eglin's Best tastes like no other, with more of the delicious farm-fresh taste you love. It's no surprise that Eglin's Best have won many taste awards, including the gold medal for superior taste, appearance, and freshness from the American Masters of Taste. Eglin's Best are winners when it comes to nutrition, too. Compared to regular eggs, Eglin's Best provide 10 times more vitamin E, 3 times more vitamin B12, and 2 times more vitamin D. Yet they have 25% less saturated fat. Superior taste and nutrition add up to superior value, too. So why settle for any old egg when you can experience the best?
Welcome to Animals Today, your home for serious talk about animals. I'm Dr. Lori Kirshner. Today we have a lot to cover. And did you hear the incredible, shocking story of wild animals running loose in Zanesville, Ohio? This tragedy resulted in the killing of many Bengal tigers, lions, bears, and other animals, apparently set free by a suicidal keeper. How can this have happened? What sort of zoo was this? And could this horrible tragedy have been avoided? Well, later in the hour, we're going to be speaking with Adam Roberts from the Global Federation of Animal Sanctuaries to find out the answers to these questions and to learn what, if anything, can be learned from this tragedy. But first, we are very happy to be welcoming back a friend of the show, Frank Hoffman. Frank is one half of the Frank T. and Mary L. Hoffman Family Foundation, and they maintain a slew of websites related to animal welfare and veganism and the environment. And their website is at all-creatures.org. Fantastic website. You've never seen anything like this. You have to check it out. all-creatures.org. And with Hanukkah and Christmas holidays approaching, and since Frank is a former Jewish United Methodist pastor, we wanted to speak with him about animals and various religions. So we are saying peace on earth and goodwill toward men. But what about the animals? Mary and Frank have dedicated their lives to furthering a cruelty-free lifestyle for all of God's creatures, whether human or non-human. They believe in both human and animal rights as a God-given gift of creation, and they strive to protect the environment as a heritage to all future generations. Welcome, Frank.
Glad to be with you, Lori.
Frank, I thought I would start with a big question and a controversial one, too. Do you feel that conventional Judeo-Christian practices hinder the welfare of animals?
Unfortunately, yes. There's a prevalent hardness of heart that runs through most religions, which they claim isn't there, but it does when it comes to animals or animal issues. It's directly connected to the animals, and it's also connected to the people who care about animals. If somebody's companion animal dies, they usually deny that the animal goes to heaven. They deny that animals have souls, and the person usually gets hurt very badly. So it's not a very friendly atmosphere for most people in churches who are animal-friendly and vegan.
Frank, are clergy in the United States at all sympathetic to the positions of animal rights activists?
A few are. And it's relatively a small number. Some of them are open to having those people in the church, and they even have some vegan meals. But for the most part, they're sort of ostracized and made to feel uncomfortable. Whether it's by intent or not, I can't say, but there's a lot of problems with it. And we probably ministered around the world to close to 1 million people that have left the churches because of the problems they found.
Wow. So, Frank, why is it? Why do we not see more discussions about compassion toward animals in sermons?
I think it's a two-pronged position. One of the things is clergy don't want to lose their jobs. That's one. And the other is the congregation doesn't really want to hear it. And if you combine the two together, it's they don't want to change their lifestyle. They know what's happening, but they don't want to talk about it openly because it makes it then self-convicting, and they don't want to be in that kind of position. And from the people that we've talked to, from the churches we've spoken, that seems to be a pretty common feeling. Most of the people will deny it, but that's the way it comes across.
Are there significant differences in how various denominations of Christianity regard animals?
Not really. We see a little more emphasis, like from the Unitarian Church, we'll see a little more emphasis on animals. We see more of it from some of the Quaker churches. But from most of the mainline and the fundamentalist churches, we see very little of it.
And what is the fate of devout Christians, Frank, who discover that they really care about animals, say to the extent that they believe that slaughtering them for products or food is immoral or should be minimized? Can these people exist within the church?
They can. It depends on the church. We find that, at least from our experience, that the large majority of them have left because they feel very uncomfortable. There are some that are there, and they've found a way of working around it, and the people in the church have sort of accepted them. But there's others that make them feel very uncomfortable. So it depends on the congregation, I think even more so than the clergy. Because the clergy, unfortunately, reflect more of the feelings of the congregation.
Right. And how about in Judaism? Let's say a Jewish person comes to believe that it is cruel to consume meat or dairy, and they become vegan. Does such a person survive in a culture where ritual slaughter of animals is protected as a central religious value?
Well, I don't know if it's a value. I think it's what they consider to be a legal right. It's the slaughter of animals is... It was really a concession of God because of the hardness of the human heart. But it's they don't really consider it a right. It's more of a legal right. I mean, it's not something that is mandated. They seem to understand that, though they don't practice it. They wear fur, leather, you know, all of the animal products, and they still serve animal products. So it's something, again, I think it's very similar to what we see in Christianity. You just have to approach them individually. It's more of a grassroots-type movement. And some people feel comfortable, and others I know have left. So, but I think the number of people that leave Judaism because of this are not as many as the percentage in Christianity. Because you won't see hunting rabbis like you do in Christianity, where you see hunting pastors. They don't consider hunting to be right. They see that as wrong in the eyes of God. To take pleasure in the killing, they recognize, which is not, it should be accepted the same way in Christianity, but it's not. So there's a little bit easier way of getting across from that standpoint, but from the consumption of meat, and they're supposed to be humane, and they know how the animals are raised. I mean, they know that it isn't humane. They turn a blind eye. And I think some of the things that came out of that expose on that one slaughterhouse, that that ended up closing after a while was a perfect example of that.
Well, you raise a very interesting point, Frank. So the Jewish rabbis, the rabbis, they're not hunters because they believe that they shouldn't get pleasure out of killing another living creature. Yet it's okay for them to exploit and use and abuse animals in other ways.
That's the problem. See, what they're doing, in my opinion, is they're twisting the law
right.
to justify what they want. And that's not the way the Bible is written. And
right.
I know a lot of them will try to argue with me about it, but they seem to drop God's initial intent and his heavenly will. And they don't want to listen to things like Micah when he says, he has told you, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of you, but to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with your Lord. That's not happening. You can't say you do that if you allow animals to suffer the way they are and you take part in that. That's not walking humbly with God. That's not loving the animals. That's not being humble. You know,
right?
It's cruel. It's
exactly.
It's like Proverbs 12:10 says that the righteous man has regard for the life of his animal, but the compassions of the wicked is cruel.
Yes. Frank, don't go away. We're talking to Frank Hoffman. He's with all-creatures.org. Check out the website. It's so incredible. Frank Hoffman, don't go away. This is Dr. Lori Kirshner. You're listening to Animals Today.
Every day in the United States, tens of thousands of puppies and kittens are born. Unfortunately, there aren't enough homes for all these cats and dogs. One unfixed female cat and her offspring can be the source of more than 400,000 cats in 7 years. One female dog and her unfixed offspring can produce about 67,000 puppies. Too many cats and dogs are unwanted anywhere by anybody, so they end up being neglected or abandoned. Millions of healthy pets are killed in shelters annually. In the U.S., on average, 70% of the animals that enter the shelter end up getting euthanized. Fortunately, there is good news. There's a new answer to this dilemma. We can help to stop killing these animals by having our pets spayed or neutered. If you want a new pet, how about adopting one? You can rescue a cat or dog and save a life. For more information, please visit our website, desertpaws.org. Again, that website is www.desertpaws.org. And save a life. Save a pet's life today.
As baby boomers age, more people than ever are faced with the challenges of living with arthritis. As they desire to stay active, special attention is being given to the management of osteoarthritis and the treatment options available to those in need. Dr. Keith Behrend from Joint Implant Surgeons, Inc. in New Albany, Ohio, says many people with osteoarthritis may be candidates for partial knee replacement. One option, the Oxford Partial Knee System, has remained a valuable treatment option for 35 years.
For many people living with knee pain, a partial knee replacement is a good option because it allows the surgeon to preserve the healthy part of the knee and only replace the bad part. The type of surgery used can also reduce blood loss and lead to a faster recovery. The Oxford Partial Knee is unique because the design more closely replicates normal movement and provides for a more natural feeling knee and range of motion. The Oxford Solid Performance Record provides the surgeon and the patient with the confidence they need when making a decision about partial knee replacement surgery.
For more information, visit oxfordknee.com. I'm Lee Shepherd.
Have you heard? Proactiv is better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway, and you'll also receive free shipping. Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactiv, your acne can heal and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. Don't miss this limited time offer. Give us a call at 1-800-489-2180 because we're going to let a million people try Proactiv risk-free, get two free gifts, and also receive free shipping when you call right now.
You heard it. This offer won't last long. So call Proactive now and you'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial of Proactive, two free extras, and free shipping. Call 1-800-489-2180. This is our best radio offer ever. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactive plus free shipping. That's right, free shipping. Don't wait. Call 1-800-489-2180. That's 1-800-489-2180.
My wife's monthly trip to the beauty salon was really adding up. I mean, between dyeing her roots and trimming the dead ends, we were going dead broke. So to save some money, I'm cutting it for her while she sleeps. Shh, no, don't wake up yet. Go to sleep, go to sleep. You're almost gorgeous. Oh, she is going to love this.
There's an easier way to save. Get online. Go to Geico.com. Get a quote. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
And now the bonus round. If absence makes the heart grow fonder, what does presence make?
I want to say crab dip.
Correct. Finish this sequence. Tree, sky.
Transubstantiationalism.
Correct. What can you watch instantly with Netflix?
Unlimited TV episodes and movies.
Correct. Watch unlimited TV episodes and movies for only $8 a month from Netflix. See terms of use.
Ma'am, are you crying?
I cry when I'm happy.
Well, that makes two of us.
Too much monkey business. Too much monkey business. Too much monkey business for me to be involved in.
Oh. Welcome back to the show. We're talking to Frank Hoffman. We're talking about animals and religion. Frank, around the holiday season, which we're here, when there's a heightened feeling of spirituality and goodwill and charity, does it disturb you that we are consuming turkeys and pigs as parts of feasts and rituals?
Absolutely. It's a contradiction. What we do to animals makes the meaning of the holidays sort of an oxymoron.
Right.
They're in opposition to one another. You cannot be loving and have goodwill, and don't forget the shepherds were the one that saw this in the field. I mean, God showed them that, and Jesus was born in a stable with animals. God was trying to give a message there, and people didn't want to hear it. That's part of the problem. So we turn a blind eye to the suffering of animals and think God rejoices with us as we are cruel to animals, which is totally nonsense. That's not at all what God wants. And I think today people know all about what's happening to animals, and they deny they know, but I think for the most part they know what's happening to animals. And they can't really deny it. It's just, you know, don't tell me I don't want to know type of attitude.
So are you saying, Frank, they're not just simply ignorant about animal cruelty, but there's something worse?
Yes, I think so. I think there's a sense of immorality that's running through religion when it comes to animal issues. And people will argue about that. But when you look at it in the context of what it means to walk humbly with our God or to be Christ-like, you cannot in any way accept what's happening to animals. The two just don't belong together. And I think it's everybody's duty to find out what's really happening. And they don't want to get involved. They don't want to know the truth. They want to be led around and not think for themselves. And the ones that do start to become compassionate. We run into these people almost every day. And they're, you know, they say, oh, wow, this is, you know, I just can't do this any longer. Or whatever it is, they begin to wake up, and they turn away from this indifference to the suffering of animals.
Yeah. Just because of they like the taste of a hamburger or ice cream.
Yes. You got to shock their emotions to get them to change that.
Right. Frank, Mormons have been in the news, and there's a distinct possibility that Mitt Romney may become president of the United States. In the Mormon religion, is there any specific regard for animals that differs from Christianity or Judaism?
In regard to animals, nothing that I would consider to be noticeable or notable or practiced. I don't see it. I know people, there's a lot of religions that have basis in being compassionate, but they don't practice it. And I think that same thing holds true for them as well as anybody else.
Yeah.
I just haven't seen any difference.
And then there's the Seventh-day Adventists, and I read that about 35% of practitioners are vegetarians. Why is that, Frank? Does it have to do with the respect for nature?
Well, I actually heard it was near 50%, but what there is the original teachings included compassion, not just health. But they've latched on to the health aspect, and they have health ministers that work with the various churches to help people to live a more healthful lifestyle. But what they're doing is they're by leaving out the animals, the animal issues, they are not really moving the people's hearts to being compassionate. Just to give you a statistic, about 90% of the people that become vegans for reasons of compassion stay. Only about 10% of the people that become vegans for reasons of compassion stay. And if the Seventh-day Adventists would put compassion to animals as part of their health ministry, I think they'd be 100% or nearly 100% vegan. It's strictly the fact of not addressing the animal issue. But they're on the right road, but they're not from the animal standpoint, but they're leaving out the animals. They're probably closer than any other of the religious denominations that are around to having, let's say, their foot in the door to waking up to the animal issue because of their vegetarian stance. Now, that's not vegan, by the way. Their stance is vegetarian. A lot of them eat dairy and some of them eat eggs, but it's mostly from a vegetarian-type standpoint, not a compassionate, complete vegetarian or vegan standpoint.
Okay, so, Frank, repeat that statistic that you gave just a bit ago.
Okay.
90% of vegetarians.
This is ours, and we've also found it with a lot of other people, that 90% of the people that become vegan for reasons of compassion, remain vegan.
Right.
But only about 10% of the people who become vegan for reasons of health remain vegan.
Right.
So that's a pretty wide spread. It's opposite ends of the same stick, but it's a pretty large difference, and it shows you how much effect compassion has on holding people to being kind, loving, with unconditional love and compassion towards animals.
Frank, we only have a couple minutes left, and there's a few important questions, I think they're important, that I want to ask you. As a whole, do you think atheists and agnostics care about animal rights and treat animals differently than devout Christians and Jews? Are there statistics about that?
Well, I think the statistics have to be sort of tweaked a little bit, because most of those people, when you get to talk to them and analyze things a little bit, actually came out of religion and lost their faith because of the hardness of heart they encountered. So what you're saying is that maybe more of them are compassionate to animals because they got turned off from the religions. So I think it's that aspect why we see more compassion coming from the atheists in the world or agnostics, because they have felt very uncomfortable within religion. And I know a few of them have become Jains because Jainism seems to have the right attitude towards animals, though it doesn't have the Judeo-Christian view of God.
Right, right. Frank Hoffman, thank you so much for appearing on Animals Today. This is Frank Hoffman at all-creatures.org. Thanks, Frank.
Thank you, Lori. Glad to be with you.
As temperatures climb, please remember to never leave your dog in the car, not even for a minute on a warm day with the windows cracked and in the shade. The temperature inside a car can climb up in a matter of minutes, and it's enough to kill your pet. If you love your pet, leave them at home or with someone you trust. Keep them cool, comfortable, and alive. And if you see a dog or other pet in a car, you may only have a moment to save their life. Here are a couple of steps that you should remember. Make an announcement in the store or business the car is parked nearest to, and call the police department or animal control right away. Remember, it only takes a minute or two on a hot day to kill an animal left inside a car. Your swift action can save a life. Dogs are unable to cool themselves the way people can. Never leave your dog in the car, not even for a minute. This message is presented by Desert Paws. Visit them online at desertpaws.org. That's desertpaws, all one word, .org.
Lupus is a life-threatening autoimmune disease that can damage any organ. An estimated 1.5 million Americans are living with the disease, and no two cases are alike. No one knows what causes lupus at this time, and there is no known cure. Without clinical research, medication choices are limited. That's why volunteers in clinical trials are so important. Dr. S. Sam Lim, Associate Professor of Medicine at Emory University School of Medicine, and Chief of Service for Rheumatology at Grady Memorial Hospital, shares why participation is so vital.
Participating in research is essential for furthering the understanding of lupus and other diseases and ultimately leads to more effective treatment. The Lupus Foundation of America's Center for Clinical Trials Education is a comprehensive resource for people with the disease to find trusted information on lupus trials, learn about the process, and obtain information about local clinical trial opportunities.
To learn more about lupus and clinical trials, visit lupus.org/clinical trials.
I have something to confess. I just love eggs. Eggs for breakfast, eggs for lunch, for dinner, you name it. To me, eggs are all about freshness, wholesomeness, and home. As I said, I just love them. And the eggs I love best? That's easy. Eggland's Best. No other egg I've tried tastes as farm fresh and delicious. I love my EBs sunny side up, but they're great any way you prepare them. And lest you think Eggland's eggs are only about superior taste, let me tell you about their superior nutrition. Compared to ordinary eggs, Eggland's Best have 10 times more vitamin E, 3 times more vitamin B12, and 2 times more vitamin D. Plus, they're a good source of omega-3s and lutein. Oh, and I almost forgot to mention, they have 25% less saturated fat than regular eggs. Now that's what I call a super egg. Look for all-natural Eggland's Best at your local grocers in regular, cage-free, and organic varieties. If you love eggs the way I do, it's time you experienced eggs at their best. Eggland's Best. Better taste, better nutrition, better eggs. Who's watching your home when you're not there? It could be a burglar. Burglars prefer to break in when they think nobody's home and no one will stop them. Don't be an easy target for intruders. Protect your home with a free security system monitored by ADT, the leader in home security. Pick up your phone now and get free hardware, free medical and fire alert, and free activation. It's an $850 value. Just call Protect Your Home, your authorized ADT dealer at 1-866-789-3377. You'll get 24-hour protection, and there's no cost for parts or activation. Call now about a free security system monitored by ADT. Call 1-866-789-3377. $99 installation charge, 36-month monitoring agreement, $35.99 per month. Call for terms and conditions to this offer and protect your home license numbers. Call now, 1-866-789-3377. That's 1-866-789-3377.
I'm child behavioral therapist James Lehman. I know you need the Total Transformation Program to turn around your child's behavior, but for some reason you haven't tried it. Maybe you're skeptical and doubt that it will work for you and your child. Listen, I'm willing to give away 1,000 copies of The Total Transformation to the most skeptical of parents for free. All I need you to do is send me your feedback about how it works for you and your child, and the program will be free. You get the program for free, and I get the satisfaction of knowing how The Total Transformation helped your child. Anyone who says they can change your child's behavior should be willing to prove it. We're going to prove once and for all that the Total Transformation Program works for every behavior problem imaginable. And it'll be free to 1,000 of my most skeptical customers.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-586-1402. 1-800-586-1402. That's 1-800-586-1402. 1-800-586-1402.
Welcome back to Animals Today. This is Peter Spiegel. And holy cow, did you guys see the horrible, horrifying, and shocking spectacle of wild animals running in the streets of Zanesville, Ohio, and being killed? Holy, it's just almost unfathomable, isn't it? And why did this happen? And how could it happen? And what can we do to prevent it from happening again? What a tragedy. What a sad story. Can we learn anything positive about this? Well, we're going to explore all this with a wonderful guy named Adam Roberts. He is the president of the Global Federation of Animal Sanctuaries. He was on a couple of weeks ago. He's really a wonderful resource for not only us, but everyone. He's been all over the media the last couple of days, and we are very happy to welcome Adam Roberts back to Animals Today. Hey there.
Hey, it's nice to be with you, though I wish it wasn't under such tragic circumstances.
Likewise. And so maybe you can help us sort of understand this tragedy a little better. First, you know, why don't you please explain to us what the heck happened in Ohio and how could it possibly have been allowed to, transpire like that?
Sure. Well, Ohio is one of the worst states in the country, unfortunately, for its lax laws in relation to keeping exotic animals in private hands. So really anybody can get their hands on tigers and lions and bears and monkeys and keep them just for their own purposes, literally as a hobby, as pets, whatever you want to call it. And ironically, it's also one of the states around the country that has the worst record in terms of incidents involving exotic animals where they escape or they attack. And we've got story after story of bears attacking and kangaroos attacking and monkeys and primates of other sorts and reptiles, all attacking people in the state of Ohio. But yet nothing had been done for many, many years in order to crack down on this. And so this one guy in Zanesville, Ohio, Terry Thompson, had a huge menagerie with all the types of animals that I've been mentioning, the lions, tigers, et cetera. And apparently he just let them all loose and then committed suicide. At least that's the report we're getting on the news. And unfortunately, local law enforcement had to take lethal matters into their own hands and gun down all of these animals before there were any interactions with humans. So it was definitely a tragic week in Ohio, and I think it sent reverberations around the country concerning the exotic pets issue.
Yeah, for sure it did. And so what do we know about this facility? Was it a zoo or a sanctuary? Did it have a license? Were they doing anything illegal, say?
Yeah, well, you know, it's an interesting question about the legality of what he did, because he really seems to have fallen through the legislative and regulatory cracks in the state. He was keeping them for himself, and he wasn't open to the public like a zoo would be, so he didn't need an exhibitor's license from the U.S. Department of Agriculture. And because many of the animals he had were not native to this country, except for the bears, you know, tigers and lions, obviously, even though they're captive bred, the species itself still comes from elsewhere in the world. He didn't have to have any kind of license in Ohio, so he really did fall through the legislative cracks and was able to keep these animals. But in 2005, he was actually sentenced under animal cruelty statutes, and he had to pay a fine and serve a period of time in house arrest. So the authorities were well familiar with him and the fact that he was perhaps not the right person to be having these kinds of animals at his property.
And do you know if there's any evidence that he might have been mentally unstable?
I haven't heard anything about that. I know that there have been rumors that he was having financial problems, and I think he had just gotten out of jail for a charge related to weapons violations. Of course, these are all the different reports that are swirling, but it may very well be the case that he had gotten to a place in his life where he was significantly unhappy and sort of wanted to go out with some remarkable fanfare.
To say the least. So there we have all these various animals, and they're not happily grazing. They're apparently aggressive.
Absolutely.
In the roads in Ohio, and the law enforcement, who are not equipped to deal with this, are faced with this new situation. What did they do right and wrong?
Well, I think they did everything right in respect to what they had to work with. You know, I mean, obviously, as an animal advocate and somebody who cares deeply about the well-being of individual animals, the thought of this lion out in a cage, traffic, and being shot, you know, these animals having to be killed that way is just astounding and horrible and makes me incredibly sad. But at the same time, I have to put myself in the position of local law enforcement and think to myself, if they had waited, if they did not act more as swiftly as they did, even though it was lethal and tragic, you know, what if a child had been mauled, somebody had been killed, I mean, entire families could have been killed. It could have been even worse if there was that kind of human loss of life. And so I understand why they had to act the way they did. I think the bigger question for me is, why was local law enforcement and others around the state not better prepared with a rapid response team to deal with a situation like this, given that we at Born Free and Global Federation of Animal Sanctuaries and other animal organizations have been arguing for years that the laws are so lax and people have these animals across the state? It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that even a tiger or a lion could get out, and there'd have to be some way to deal with that incident.
That's right. You can't say, oh, we never imagined.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe we never imagined something of this scale would happen, that all 50 animals would be released. But surely you had to know, when people had been killed by bears in the state before, that something like this could have happened.
Adam, hi, Lori here. How are you?
I'm well.
Okay. Adam, you know, I agree with you that something swift had to be done to protect the people out there when wild animals escape or let loose. But, Adam, this may be an ignorant question, but isn't there tranquilizing darts or guns that could be used?
I think under ideal circumstances, that would have been the preferable outcome, but I don't think anybody had that kind of equipment on hand. And from what I understand, night was falling, and really it was a matter of deciding whether the problem was going to get worse before it got better. And that's I think there has to be this kind of rapid response where humane societies, zoologists, wildlife law enforcement officers, somebody from the Department of Natural Resources, they all should have been on hand in an instant, the minute this was uncovered, prepared to act. But, you know, the local sheriff obviously perhaps doesn't have that kind of resource, and I imagine now they surely will going forward.
Right.
Adam, tell us a little bit about the various states' laws concerning the ownership or possession of exotic animals. You mentioned specifically that Ohio wasn't so great, so it varies state by state what you can do.
Yeah, that's right. There's unfortunately a patchwork of state laws around the country where most states, 21 states, have some sort of regulatory ban or legislative ban on the keeping of exotic animals as pets. And then there are another 8 states to add to that have at least a partial ban. So they may not have all dangerous animals. They may exempt bears or exempt primates or exempt reptiles, but they've got some sort of ban. And then another 13 states allow the keeping of these dangerous animals as long as some sort of permit or licensing scheme is in place. But then there are 8 states down at the bottom, including Ohio, that don't have really any regulations at all. And it's those that I think we most need to focus on in the coming years to make sure that they change.
Do you think the federal government is doing everything it should? Should this be a federal issue or a state-by-state issue?
Well, I think it has to be a state-by-state issue only to the extent that the U.S. Congress can do very little to govern the possession of these animals around the country. That's really a state responsibility. But in 2003, Congress passed the Captive Wildlife Safety Act, which prohibits the interstate trade in big cats if they're going to be kept as pets. So no lions, tigers, leopards, cougars going across state lines for the pet trade. And we've been trying for a few years now to add primates to that list of prohibited species, and I'm hoping that we'll have some success now that people are a little bit more aware of the issue. But obviously other species like bears and reptiles should be prohibited in trade as well, because we know how dangerous they are. And hopefully if you start to cut down those supply lines, there'll be fewer people having these animals in private hands.
So you're saying from this point forward, really continued legislative efforts are where we really need to put our resources?
Absolutely. Focusing on the worst states and also looking at what the Congress can do.
Got it. Okay. Any final comments you want to add in the last few seconds?
Well, I would just hope that everybody who's listening might take a minute to contact Governor of Ohio, Governor Kasich, and urge him to do all he can, and probably, you know, go to a group like Born Free USA, who I also represent, sign up for our action alerts, and then you can find out ways that you can help every week.
That's great. We appreciate it. It's Adam Roberts, president of Global Federation of Animal Sanctuaries, also with Born Free USA. Thanks very much for joining us in Animals Today.
Thanks, Adam.
My pleasure.
Okay, stick around. We've got some news items, and I'm going to be bringing you some interesting news items from around the world. Are you ready?
Yes, we're ready. Pizza Man in the News, coming up next right here on Animals Today.
That's the sound of a dog whose vocal cords were cut just to stifle her voice. It's called devocalization, and it's done to cats as well. Devocalized animals rasp and wheeze, cough and gag the rest of their lives. Some are rendered mute. And for what? So a commercial or hobby breeder can keep many animals without having to listen to them. So show dogs will be quiet in transit between shows or in the ring. So an irresponsible pet owner can leave a dog alone for hours every day. Animals Today joins with Coalition to Protect and Rescue Pets in saying shame on anyone who would have a dog or cat devocalized, and shame on the vets who perform this inhumane, unnecessary surgery for them. Please speak out against devocalization of dogs and cats. Use your voice. Protect theirs. This message is sponsored by Desert Paws. Visit them at desertpaws.org.
There's no getting around it. The great outdoors isn't so great for your cat. From speeding cars to toxic lawn chemicals, coyotes to cruel humans, cats are no match for the dangers of today's world. The good news is animal behaviorists say cats don't need to go outside to be happy. Your family will be happier and much healthier, too, without the ticks, fleas, diseases, and the dead critters that outdoor cats bring their owners. And you'll never have to explain to a sobbing child who or what hurt her pet or why he hasn't come home. For starters, don't let your kitten out. He won't miss what he doesn't know. But even adult cats can adapt to life indoors. The key is to provide attention, exercise, and a stimulating environment. Play with your cat. You can hide toys around the house, too. Just make sure there are no detachable parts that can be swallowed. Is he still wanting to get out? Consult an animal behaviorist for more tips. Animals Today urges you, don't give up. Right now, today, you can protect your cat from becoming a tragic statistic. Tomorrow may be too late.
This message is brought to you by Desert Paws. Visit us at desertpaws.org.
Have you heard? Proactive is better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway, and you'll also receive free shipping.
Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactive, your acne can heal and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. Don't miss this limited time offer. Give us a call at 1-800-489-2180, because we're going to let a million people try Proactive risk-free, get two free gifts, and also receive free shipping when you call right now. You heard it. This offer won't last long. So call Proactive now and you'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial of Proactive, two free extras, and free shipping. Call 1-800-489-2180. This is our best radio offer ever. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactive plus free shipping. That's right, free shipping. Don't wait. Call 1-800-489-2180. That's 1-800-489-2180.
I'm child behavioral therapist James Lehman. I know you need the Total Transformation Program to turn around your child's behavior, but for some reason you haven't tried it. Maybe you're skeptical and doubt that it will work for you and your child. Listen, I'm willing to give away 1,000 copies of the Total Transformation to the most skeptical of parents for free. All I need you to do is send me your feedback about how it works for you and your child, and the program will be free. You get the program for free, and I get the satisfaction of knowing how the total transformation helped your child. Anyone who says they can change your child's behavior should be willing to prove it. We're going to prove once and for all that the Total Transformation Program works for every behavior problem imaginable. And it'll be free to 1,000 of my most skeptical customers.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-586-1402. 1-800-586-1402. That's 1-800-586-1402. 1-800-586-1402.
Who's watching your home when you're not there? It could be a burglar. Burglars prefer to break in when they think nobody's home and no one will stop them. Don't be an easy target for intruders. Protect your home with a free security system monitored by ADT, the leader in home security. Pick up your phone now and get free hardware, free medical and fire alert, and free activation. It's an $850 value. Just call Protect Your Home, your authorized ADT dealer, at 1-866-789-3377. You'll get 24-hour protection, and there's no cost for parts or activation. Call now about a free security system monitored by ADT. Call 1-866-789-3377. $99 installation charge, 36-month monitoring agreement, $35.99 per month. Call for terms and conditions to this offer and protect your home license numbers. Call now, 1-866-789-3377. That's 1-866-789-3377.
Welcome back to Animals Today.
Hey, Lori.
Hi, Peter. Do you hear the song playing?
I know that one.
Losing My Religion.
Yeah.
That was one of the topics of today's show. So what do you got there for us?
Well, you know, following up on that discussion with Frank Hoffman.
Okay.
You know, there's probably the most famous theologian who is interested in animal welfare is Professor Andrew Lindsay. He's at Oxford University, and he's the director of the Oxford Center for Animal Ethics, and he's also an author and really thoughtful guy. And he gave a special service for animals at Westminster Abbey in early October, which was sponsored by the RSPCA, the Royal Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals in Britain. And he chimed in on this pretty strongly. He said that the churches are nowhere in this debate. This is about having compassion towards animals, with a few honorable exceptions, and I mean a very few, and I'm quoting here, English archbishops and bishops haven't even addressed the issue in the past decade or more. He continues, almost all church leaders who are normally loquacious in lamenting regressive social policies can't even register cruelty as an issue. They talk airily of environmental responsibility, but when it comes to confronting our specific duties to other sentient creatures, they fall silent.
Wow.
Pretty strong indictment.
Not even recognizing cruelty.
Right. And he continues that this notion of idolatry, thinking that God is only interested in the human species, is the root of the problem.
Yeah.
He also said that Christians haven't got much further than thinking that the whole world was made for us, with the result that the animals are only seen in an instrumental way as objects, machines, tools, and commodities rather than fellow creatures.
Yeah.
To think that animals can be defined by what they do for us or how they meet our needs is profoundly untheological.
Wow.
That's Professor Andrew Lindsay.
Well, let me give you another quote that I found.
All right.
Okay, this is from Anthony Marr, who said the following, a meat eater riding a bicycle generates more greenhouse gases than a vegan driving a Hummer.
Yeah.
So,
I've heard a version of that before.
Oh, have you?
I don't know if that's his direct quote or if he invented it. Maybe he is responsible for that. I did hear him say that.
And I know you and I have had these conversations before, but don't you think people who call themselves environmentalists,
yeah,
should really think about what they eat a little more than they do?
Well, sure. I believe many of them should. And now that we know about all the greenhouse gases produced in the agriculture industry to grow a cow or a pig, all the methane produced, if you accept that that is an impact on the environment, then it's very powerful just to stop contributing to that. You don't go out and pay a premium to buy a Prius over a different little car to show that you have a Prius.
Right. Well.
And then go get a hamburger.
It's a little contradictory, isn't it?
I think it's contradictory, but only if you get someone to think about it in the correct terms, which is the way we see it.
Right, exactly.
Rather than just sort of denying it or saying, oh, I need my hamburger, or it's free-range chicken, or
right.
locally produced.
Right.
Locally produced cattle still emit
greenhouse
methane.
Right. Okay, and there was something else that I really wanted to ask Frank, and I didn't have the opportunity while we ran out of time. If he believes, Peter, that children innately have an affinity towards animals that gets obliterated as they get older. In other words, are you sort of born having compassion, innately having compassion for animals and life and other living creatures, or is that a learned thing?
Yeah. Learned meaning or, not to worry about them.
Exactly. Or, on the other hand, are you born with sort of a evil streak in you that you don't have compassion for this, and then that's a learned thing,
yeah,
to become compassionate. What do you think?
Well, I know a little bit of what Frank thinks because I like to read about what he writes. And
okay,
I've read
what does
some
he think?
Essay. So, you know, he uses the phrase hardening of the heart, and he, I believe, believes that kids are born innocent and really loving animals with an innate affinity toward them.
Right.
And then as they get culturized, as
right,
they just grow up and learn that, oh, the animal, the cow is really a food and we're in charge of the animals, then they sort of, most of them lose that.
Right. And your parents put meat in front of
you
for dinner.
You're a good boy if you eat it.
Right. You got to eat all your meat before you get your dessert.
Right.
Right. Right. Exactly. And then you're born into a religion that has certain practices that are not animal friendly.
So I think that's Frank's viewpoint on that.
Yeah.
I sort of agree with it too, although
yeah,
he's really trained in this, and I'm just a spectator.
You're just a something. Okay.
Yeah.
So what do we have in the news?
Well, I just have to go with my lead story here, okay?
Because okay.
And that is Purina. Nestle Purina is putting out a new television commercial for the dog food brand Beneful, featuring inaudible, high-pitched squeaks directed at your dog to get the dog to react to the commercial and then get you, hopefully, to go out and buy the stuff.
Really?
Really.
Like, and we're not going to be able to hear these squeaks.
You can't hear them. You cannot hear them. They're ultrasonic.
But our dogs can hear them.
The dogs hear them.
And they look at the TV when the commercial goes on and look at you and say, Mommy, that's what I want.
Well, they do something that hopefully the company feels will get the owner to think the dog wants that food or...
Oh, come on.
Well, you know, this is why there are ad agencies. So we'll see what happens to Beneful. Okay?
Okay.
All right.
Okay. What else you got?
Okay. I'll just want to tell you that in South Korea, you know, they've got all these ancient wooden monuments that need to be protected, and they're all getting eaten up by termites. So they are training sniffer dogs to find termites in the early stage before the monuments and the ancient buildings sort of collapse. Because when you see a termite, it's too late.
Wow.
So that's the same training as drug dogs and explosive dogs.
Termite dogs.
Termite dogs.
Wow.
There you go.
Wow. Thanks, Peter.
All right.
Okay, check out our website, animalstodayradio.com, animalstodayradio.com. And this is Dr. Lori Kirschner encouraging you to nurture your love and compassion for the only other beings sharing our planet, the animals.
The opinions you hear on the Business Talk Radio Network are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of this station, Business Talk Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Business Talk Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Investing involves risks. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about the Business Talk Radio Network, contact us at 203-323-7300 or at our website, businesstalkradio.net.